Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Not getting enough Triple M footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh, no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
I've got to respect the ball.
You're simply...
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
2, 3, 4.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sydney.
Yeah, welcome back to it. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis and James Triceps Hooper. So the game this afternoon has been postponed. A COVID precaution at the Dogs-Roosters game will now be played tomorrow night at 7. Moving forward to 4 o'clock now is Sharks-Dragons. Dan will call that one for you. And we want to talk about the Dragons right now. 133353 is our number, by the way. Now, it's all about been all about the Dragons through the week again. And unfortunately, it's all been negative. And where we're going to start here. Now, Hoops, I know we don't think this is going to happen, but the situation can't be good when there is a petition talking about the unmerging of these two clubs that have been together since, well, on the playing field since 1999. Like I say, we don't think it will happen, but it's not good talk that they're even thinking this way.
Well, it's also been reported today that the previous CEO, who is no longer at the club, Brian Johnston, that was something that he was pushing heavily under his imprimatur. So it certainly was a conversation that had been going on around the club last season. And he, in fact, you know, according to the reports today, which Danny Widler's written in his column, you know, there was a push that they might even merge with the Cronulla Sharks.
Oh, my goodness. That could certainly, that would, look, you know, I remember they used to say if we merged with the Sharks, we'd have to build a moat around the St. George Leagues Club. I mean, that'd be like the Rabbitohs and the Roosters coming together. I mean, so do you think there is more substance to this unmerging thing?
Oh, no, I find it hard to see how
it would happen.
You could go down that road now, Kenty.
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think you can unmerge and go back to two teams.
Well, I just assumed it'd be like the Manly North thing where one team survives.
But one dies. Yeah, this is it. And I don't think that either of them, at the moment it's a 50-50 partnership. I can't see that the St. George Dragons certainly wouldn't want to die, and neither would the Illawarra Steelers. So I don't see how it can be unmerged.
Mm. Well, it's just another one of these things around
it. How many people have voted in the petition on your poll?
At the poll at the moment.
No, the petition, not the Eddie Jones thing.
Oh,
but this
the
actual
unmerging
petition
thing.
That
no,
you're
this,
referencing.
This is nothing.
Are we talking about thousands?
I don't know, Hoops. I just think, as I said to you, I don't think there's any substance to it. But the story is here, I believe, is that things are that grim, they're going down that road.
There are Dragons members and supporters who I know from a St. George perspective are pushing that narrative. Mm. They believe, you know, that would be in the best interest of the club. But I just can't see. I reckon there's clearly a couple of things not right with St. George Illawarra at the moment, but I don't think it's an impossible fix. I actually think the roster's decent and you could probably turn things around pretty quickly if you just shook the joint up a bit.
All right, 1,240 people have signed that petition, by the way. So we've crossed off that. Now, the other thing was, of course, Paul, earlier in the week we were told that Mary McGregor was given 4 weeks to get things back on track from the St. George Illawarra board.
Yeah, it's an unusual one. They had a board meeting, put out that they re-endorsed him as their coach, put out that he had their support, and then it quietly leaked out that he'd been given 4 weeks to turn things around. I'm always wary when clubs put stipulations on coaches, and put time frames around improvement that they need to see, because inevitably it ends bad. It generally ends up in the coach coaching for that period. And what I mean by that is they'll often, in the past, I've seen coaches often sacrifice long-term success for that short-term success to save their job. and it's come to some, you know, there's been consequences of that. And this is a similar instance, but by putting this to Paul McGregor now, he puts it all into the next 4 weeks. I don't think Paul McGregor can physically work any harder than what he's actually doing. I just think that they're a club that if they don't get their self sorted soon, I don't think the coaches, changing the coach is going to really solve the problem. It's a player-led problem, the way I see it.
And he doesn't have a say over his players. Doesn't somebody else manage the roster?
He's not in charge of recruitment and retention. That's Ian Millwood who does that.
But he's involved in the process.
He is involved.
Like when they're signing big name players, when they go and sign Ben Hunt and when they go and sign Corey Norman, of course, if you're the head coach, you're consulted. He's not left out of it. It's not just the scenario of here's your roster, I sign the players, you have to manage the roster. He gets a voice at the table.
The way it works, Gordon, in theory, the way it is working is Paul McGregor has this year and next year, and he's coaching for success this year and next year.
Yep.
The head of recruitment, Ian Millwood, his task is to ensure the longer-term success of the club. So he's got to start putting plans in place for 4, 5, 6 years down the track. And he's got to start planning that way as far as bringing players in. Now, what that means is occasionally Millwood might say, well, we need to probably move this bloke on now and get him out of our cap, clear up some money because we need that. Now, where that runs counter to Paul McGregor might say, well, no, I need him this year or next year. All coaches want as much talent as they can have right now. But Millwood will make a call in some instances for the long-term viability of the club. And he'll do that as far as the roster. And it doesn't always marry up with what the coach thinks, but it's not an uncommon system. Everybody here, it's unusual here in Australia, but in America, for example, in baseball, the manager of the baseball team rarely runs the roster. He'll get told by his general manager, you've just lost this pitcher, we've traded him to the Yankees or whatever. And it happens again in the NFL. I think in the NFL, only two coaches actually have control of the roster. One's Bill Belichick. The others all have a general manager who runs the roster. So it's not unusual for that to happen. It caused some angst here in the NRL because we still haven't quite figured it out, I don't believe, how to do it properly. But that's the way we work. But
if you look at the Canberra Raiders, just specifically on the NRL, they've got Peter Mulholland,
who's
the head of recruitment. You look at the Roosters, they've got Daniel Anderson and they've also got Nick Politis and Trent Robinson. It's a collective effort. The best clubs, the Melbourne Storm, Frank Panisi, does a roster with the help of Paul Bunn.
Paul Bunn, yeah.
So I reckon there's an argument that that system of having somebody, a different voice aside from the head coach, who is the head of recruitment, there's an argument that's the best play. That's the smart system.
Yeah, I agree. It's just that this is getting a lot of traction at the moment. I don't know. I don't know what the Dragons are, what they're looking for. My issue with the Dragons is the players keep coming out saying, "Oh, it's us." Well, if it's you guys, fix it.
Well, speaking of that and the players, the big narrative that started to get pushed over the course of the last week is that some members of the playing group have got a belief about the style of football that the Dragons should play. And that differs to the game plans that Mary McGregor wants them to execute and is implementing them to follow.
Yeah.
To me, that's just a cop-out.
Well, it's a difficult one to solve because the coach has got a philosophy and he obviously wants the team to play a certain way, and you would hope he recruits players who play that way. But it's also incumbent now on the players to, if the coach is asking them to play a certain way, they've got to adapt to him. They've got to say, okay, well, you're the boss. I'll do what you ask me to do. And if a player says it doesn't suit his style, that's clearly an issue that has to be resolved.
Boys, Gordy, go for your life.
Getting enough bruises. At the end of the day, they don't go through the middle of the ruck. They don't lay a platform. They try to be a little bit cute and execute and pass their way around the opposition, and it doesn't always work. You got to go upstream before you start playing footy. And to me, when I watch the Dragons, they don't earn the right to play the footy that they're trying to play. You play it after you've beaten the side up for a little bit. You know, like those trick shots work. Manly tried a couple on Friday night or Thursday night against Brisbane and they worked. That cherry. But most of the time, you got to go upstream to get it. And they're not doing it enough. And if I look at Ben Hunt, it's like What's that movie, Space Jam, when they come in and take out all the mojos? Like, no, mate, well, it is because he's not playing with any confidence. You know what I mean? Like, this is a guy that I think...
How do they get it back in Space
right now
Jam?
Would, sorry?
How do they get the mojo back?
I don't know.
Boys, but can I...
But mate, How do you get your confidence and your form back is by doing the things that my team needs me to do, and it's getting your defence right. So for Ben Hunt, he's got to get his defence right. He's got to start running the football. That's when you see Ben Hunt at his absolute best, is when he's there and he's a robust little runner and he catches and he throws a dummy. He takes off really hard and he's going to get some bruises when he does it. That's what you need your players to want to do. And Corey Norman, you know, mate, he was playing Origin last year.
They're talking, well, so did Ben Hunt. They're talking Tell Ben me. Hunt will start from the bench today, Gordy. They're going to put Corey Norman in at 5'8". Dufty will start at fullback and Hunt goes back to the bench.
I think that's a smart move. I think that's exactly what Paul McGregor, this is what he's been forced into now, because he's given Ben Hunt every opportunity to go out and justify why he should be playing seven. Ben Hunt wants to play seven. He was unhappy, if you remember, when he was at the Broncos and they continued to play him out of dummy half.
Yep.
But the fact is, he's more effective at the club for his team out of dummy half. He just doesn't run the team like he needs to at halfback. And he's carrying a weight, like you said, Gordon, and he's just, you can see it in him. He just needs to be freed up a bit. And putting things on Paul McGregor, like stipulations, you've got a month to turn around, that's what today gets. He's going straight to the last card.
Mm. Can I ask you, blokes, in all your time around rugby league, have you ever seen a coach be threatened or challenged with 4 weeks to turn it around?
Yes.
He's turned it around and saved his career and gone on with a great career.
I don't know if anyone's ever turned it around.
I thought
Wayne
perhaps.
There was a poll. There was a poll in Brisbane. I was playing at the Dragons, but there was a poll run by Channel 10 that they were second. So that's where you got the idea, Maroon. But it was on Channel 10 and 9, yep. And that's news. Wayne Bennett should be sacked. Like, they were coming in, and then Paul Morgan, the great Paul Morgan, one of our owners, walked in, and Wayne thought he was actually gone.
Mm.
And he said, "You've got a lifetime deal." And I think it was a confidence. So there are, but probably not as public as Mary's. But I'm pretty sure that there's been some frank conversations had with some coaches over the time.
South went through a long period where just about every coach they had at some point in his tenure was given 4 weeks or 12 weeks or in some instances.
Yep.
Yeah.
That, I remember Tugger got it when he was there.
Langmack.
South are the only Marty club Katunas. To fire Jack Gibson. Frank Cookson. South are the only team to fire Jack Gibson, Paul. I think that's correct. I was only a kid, but I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's 78.
78, yeah, 78. Boys, all right. Well, look, that's just a whole can of worms which we could spend a heck of a lot of time on, but that's where we are now. We've discussed the only thing we really want to discuss before we move away from this, Hoops, was yesterday I was at Bankwest Stadium for the game, and just the talk around Bennett and this rumour that he is heading back to the Dragons, this is really starting to gain some momentum.
Yeah, and often when you start to see big stories like this continue to just simmer and simmer and gather momentum, and, you know, there's another article in the paper and then there's another yarn in a different paper, and when the noise won't go away, generally where there's smoke, there's fire. So, look, I've asked Wayne and he said no, that he hasn't had any communication with the Dragons at this point in time. But that's not to say that perhaps somebody else acting on his behalf could be in touch with Peter Doust or Craig Young or people who he has had a very strong history with.
Do you think Wayne's telling you the truth when he says that?
I asked him about a month ago, and I reckon then that he was, Gordy. I reckon then that he was.
All right. Well, let me ask you
He's
this.
He's not going to disclose it if he was, though.
Mm.
Yeah, no.
Gordy, let me ask you this question, all right? Now, Wayne Bennett is 70 years old. So given that when he was at the Dragons last time, we've had this discussion here over the years that the Dragon supporters would dirty the state he left the joint in. Do you think Wayne Bennett is the answer for the Dragons?
Wayne's a effort coach. Wayne's a man manager. It all depends what deals he's got with his players. you know, to tag them along with you. But otherwise, I'm not 100% sure on that question. I think there is a position for Wayne in the game, but it's got to be the right club. It's got to be a club that's close and ready to win that just needs, you know, his little bit on the end. I don't know whether he can go and rebuild a club. If you look at his history with what he did at the Knights, well, but when the Dragons were so close to winning, you know, they were so close to winning grand finals the last time he went there, he could fix it. Maroon, are you happy with what he's doing at South? Do you think he can win a comp there this year or?
I believe that he can, absolutely. You know, I think in a lot of ways the Rabbitohs are rebuilding. But I've heard a lot of talk that he wasn't even going to be there at the end of this year. But I hope he is because he's had wonderful success as a coach at many different clubs and I have nothing but respect for him and for the bloke who's taking over. But the other thing for the Dragons, the other thing was earlier in the week it was suggested that the Jack DeBellin thing hanging over the playing group was causing all the problems, to which Cameron McInnes responded saying this.
Whoever's come out with that, it's pretty insulting. And as a playing group, we're pretty pissed off about that because Jack's gone through a lot over the last couple of years, and all he's done day in, day out is come to training, do whatever's asked of him, do his best to help us prepare week in, week out. So for somebody who has absolutely no knowledge of what actually happens in here, other than just making things up or trying to come up with reasons for why we're not playing well, to come out with something like that, to be honest, pretty disgusting, and it sort of just shows the lengths people will go to almost kick a dog when they're down.
All right, well, that was Cam McInnes from the Dragons. But the thing is too...
Well, that came from Hadley.
Yeah, that was from one of your mentors, Ray Hadley.
I've got nothing but respect for Ray, yeah.
You love Ray. Mm. And Hadley squared up.
He did the following day. He doubled down.
So
he stood by it.
Doubled down. Said it came from within the club. So that's an interesting thing. I do think, as much as Jack DeBellin is going there with the intention to help his teammates, I think it's also a reminder to them every day of what they're missing. Their best player, who's fit, fresh, and running opposite them, is just. I think it's a reminder. I think at some point they're. Yeah, it's like when you break up with a girlfriend and you don't, you know, you stay in contact. You got to just end it. You know what I mean? You got to have that clean cut off. And there's got to be a way to, I think, just get past Jack DeBellin. I think it's just a reminder of what they don't have.
But the issue too here, I thought, Hoops, was with the Jack DeBellin thing, that it was going to be over before this season started.
Well, it was supposed to be, because of the court system and because of the COVID shutdown and all unforeseen circumstances, it's later this month. It's June the 22nd. Jack DeBellin will either be cleared and free to play or he'll have to go to trial. And if that's the way that it is, that won't happen until much later on in the year and he'll miss an entire another season.
Mm. All right.
What are you boys hearing about his case?
Very, very...
I don't think it's worth even talking about, Gordon. One, you don't want to get in trouble legally.
Yeah, gotcha.
But two, I hear widely varying accounts. Mm. So to the point, I just don't even bother trying to find out what actually happened or any of that business because it depends on who you talk to, what you hear, and it's... And my experience too is... Once you get to court, it just takes on a different narrative. Mm. What evidence is admissible? What's not admissible? The testimony of witnesses, all that sort of stuff. That can really just change the whole outlook. So there's not a real reason I think we should sit there and discuss the ins and outs of that.
All right, boys, you're all doing a tremendous job today. Let's take a little bit of a break. We will get to the Seabold Brisbane thing as well because obviously they've got a few dramas. James Triceps Hooper, Australia's little hero, Paul Kent from NRL 360, and Gordon the Raging Bull Tallis. It's a dead set State of Origin lineup here at Triple M.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Total Tools. Lowest prices on every tool for every trade. Guaranteed. Total Tools. Triple M Footy. Woo! The Triple M
Sunday Sin Bin.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to it. Great to see we're going overseas too. People getting us via the Triple M NRL app all around the world. Anaheim in Los Angeles, I believe, Anaheim. Oh, Disneyland. So we've got some people listening in Anaheim today. Also in Philadelphia, they're listening. And right across Australia over there in Perth, Fremantle. Is this Mandurah? Mandurah they're listening
Mandura.
To?
Mandurah.
Mandurah, is it?
Mm.
So wherever you're listening
Esperance.
Today.
Esperance.
Is Esperance as well?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thank you so much. Wherever you're listening, at @MMNRL if you want to vote on my poll, which is, of course, do you think Eddie Maguire would make would make a great NRL
give yourself
coach.
An uppercut.
Why feeding him shit after
what's
that?
What's in that mug?
Eddie Jones would make a good NRL coach. If you do, I don't think he would. I have nothing but respect, but he's not an NRL coach. But you can get me on my poll right now. Hoops, Kenty, Gordon Tallis, Maroon, it is time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Oh, yeah, this is the segment that's taken the world by storm about 18 months ago. I Call BS, where the boys find something that's on there, just gets their goat, just brings them down. They just need to get it off their chest. As I always say, it doesn't have to be footy related. It often is, but I just throw it open here to the boys now. Who wants to call BS, Paul?
Yeah, look, I just want to call BS on the Dragons players. The most fight we've seen out of the Dragons came from Cameron McGuinness this week when he defended Jack DeBellin. I don't know if the Dragons realise this or not, but their coach's career is right in the balance now. And all we hear out of the Dragons is, he's a great coach, it's not his fault, it's our fault. When their performance is down as far as it is on effort and a coach's career is in the balance and they can't find it within themselves as professional players, I don't care whether they're unhappy with the game plan, the coach is trying to teach a style that they don't prefer. Fact is, they're professional football players. They get paid to do this. And as a professional in any industry, if you are paid to do it, you go out and do it the best you can do. So for the Dragons to sit down and throw off what the real reasons are, to sit down and not take accountability for their performance. Well, and when I say take accountability, they've admitted they are the problem. They're just not performing like they're acknowledging that they're the problem. So I think that at some point the Dragons are going to have to pull their fingers out. And actually, if they do care for Paul McGregor like they claim to, go out and play like you do.
Yeah, well said, Paul. I call BS. James Hooper.
I'll call BS on the elements of the Cronulla Sharks who are pushing for Shane Flanagan to be reinstated as the head coach as early as next season. Look, the reality is, you know, Flano's been pinched a couple of times for different things throughout his tenure as an NRL head coach. There's a reason that he was banned indefinitely. I think that it's not right that he's allowed back before 2022, and I think that John Morris also needs to be given a little bit of time, given the cards that he's been dealt in terms of all the challenges that they've got down there in the Shire to try and get the best results that he can with the roster that he's got. And he got him into the finals last year, and at the moment I just feel as though he's got a lot of outside distractions trying to unsettle his tenure as the head coach. I'll also call BS Anthony on the inept and weak St. George Illawarra board, who called an emergency board meeting last Monday, and everybody thought, all right, oh, here we go, okay, Mary's gone. And then they come out and say, oh no, he's got our full support. Meanwhile, in the background, they're telling everybody, oh, no, well, he's only got our full support for the next 4 weeks. And if he doesn't win games, then we're going to get rid of him then. What rubbish.
Beautiful stuff here. You blokes too, I call That's BS. Right. Gordon, would you like to call BS on anything or jump in and back your mates up here?
No, I might call BS when you were supposed to be staying at home in COVID.
Yes.
My park across the road was full with about 300 people. Now you're allowed to go to parks. There's no one there. What are you doing? Now that you're allowed to walk and go exercise and go play with your kids, no one's doing it. And when you weren't allowed to, everybody was doing it.
Mm.
That's my BS.
Good on you, mate. Yeah, and we're looking forward to getting those Queensland borders open as well. I haven't seen my grandkids.
Do you have one, Anthony?
I don't have one this week because you guys, I'm just feeling the love
among you three, and I never feel love from all three of you. It's a big old love sandwich in here today, and I think this is absolutely fantastic. It's a big old love sandwich, and I'm the filling, and I just say, get these borders open so I can see my grandkids in Brisbane.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You have got more problems than I thought.
Well, mate, I must have more problems because
sandwich and you're the filling.
I try and support you and Paul Kent on NRL 360 the other night. You jumped into my mate Reedy. I mean, I thought fair dinkum. Don't jump into me. It's okay. I can cough it. I'm tough, as you know. I'm street tough. But poor old Reedy, he's just a little bloody ice cream cone. And you've jumped all over the poor bloke.
Mate, he's from Goodner in Queensland. He's all right.
Mate. I mean,
he can defend himself, mate.
Well, not when you two out him, the poor bloke.
Please.
Poor little Reedy.
Well, he shouldn't say silly things, though.
Mate, I just said.
Mate, Reedy come in and asked me to go back to the Broncos. Reedy's not the boss of the Broncos. How can he ask me to go back?
Well, you're going to jump on Reedy now.
Yeah, I call BS on Reedy.
Oh, okay. Reedy, if you're listening,
Reedy's a good fella.
Please call us.
He owes me a bottle of rosé from Vegas.
A bottle of rosé?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you doing? Bro, you're drinking rosé now.
Some of us have culture. Maroon.
All right. Well,
we don't just sit there and drink a tallie. You know, like a long neck all the time.
Or a cast from
put it between
Aldi.
Your legs and drive up the highway.
Just go and get a $7 cast
toot
from Aldi.
The horn, mate, with the old blue Jackie Howe on, with the muscles out the window. Like
hey, mate, how are you getting on your road trips with Kevy?
Do you know, it's going that good, and I've had to go to counselling this week because Kevy actually flew. He flew to Sydney via Perth just so he didn't have to sit in the car with me.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
No, Kevy worked Thursday, Friday and Saturday. So it was going to be a totally different car trip this week, and I had to be in Sydney on Wednesday. So we went separately, and I think we're flying from now on, hopefully.
Gordy, what's the weirdest conversation you've had sitting next to Kevy for 10 hours in a car? Do they ever just sort of drift down an avenue? I imagine you would.
Well, obviously I'm weird at the best of times, but I was talking about animals because obviously there was a lot of, so like we went through the bushfires and there was a couple of kangaroos on the side of the road, and I just tossed up, I reckon kangaroos would survive in Africa. And I reckon for the next 100 kilometres, we're talking about, and I thought, well, the agility of a kangaroo, because, you know, well, like they breed well, so, and there's pests in some parts of Australia. They're not a pest where I live, but, you know, like they're pests to some farmers. And I reckon that if you threw them in the middle of Africa, you know, there's some animals that are faster than them, but I don't know whether they can have the same agility as a kangaroo, and they're pretty alert little buggers.
Mm. There you go.
You're talking about Eastern Greys or
the
Reds?
Oh, just the big red, yeah. Whatever.
And they've got that pouch too. They can always keep a weapon in there, haven't they?
It's like your bum bag, your skin.
Speaking of which,
apparently kangaroos eat their body weight and food every day.
Do they really?
That's why farmers hate them, yeah. They just get through the grain.
Wow.
When you feed cows and that. I know around, a lot of the cow places, farms,
Cow places.
A lot of farms, particularly during the drought, where farmers had to feed the cows. They were the real problem. The kangaroos.
Mm. Well, it's
funny. Something for you to talk about, Gordon. Mm. How are you going to eradicate that problem?
I was only watching Skippy the other day, which the one where the guy in the chopper, Jerry, had to drop the rope down for Skippy to hook it up to the boat. I tell you what, they are very
hook it up the boat.
They're very clever. Skippy's are very clever. They're a clever Matt Hammond, Sonny.
Mate, you know what I watched the other day, speaking of kangaroos, which is an Australian classic, Crocodile Dundee.
Oh,
I watched
love
it with
it.
My kids.
Yeah.
And they just thought it was the best flick ever.
It is. With Linda Kozlowski.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's when they fell in love, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Down at the Billabong.
I don't think they took
a water bottle.
That's right. And the croc grabbed the water bottle.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, we're probably getting off topic here. Let's take a break.
You think? See, that's what happens when you drive with me. You sit in the car.
I know.
And I think kangaroos.
We should do an hour with Gordon one day.
Yeah.
And you can just drift wherever your
riffing
mind
with
goes.
Gordon.
Like if you walked 100 metres in rain.
Yeah.
Or you ran with your shirt and they weighed your shirt. How much water would be in your shirt? Do you know what I mean? Would you get wetter if you walked or if you run?
No, because if you're running, you're just running into more water.
Well,
I've thought about that myself.
Well, you come up with the fly in the car, and then Paul Kent squashed that.
Yeah. So here's the next
that
one.
That was award-winning radio. The fly in the car was award-winning radio.
But if you're going, what, 70, and you hit the brakes, as the fly hit the windscreen?
Now, what we'll do, next time it's pouring down rain, we'll get you Hoops. Hoops has got the greatest collection of hoodies from the 1980s that you've ever seen in your life. Get you to put one of the hoodies on and
go for a run.
Go for a run, come back, get another one, go for a walk and see.
It would all depend on how much time you're in the rain.
Yeah.
The only reason you'd have less if you ran is because you'd get there quicker.
Mm.
If you both were 15 minutes in the same rain, you're not going to be, one's not going to be wetter than the other. So there's your answer,
that's
right?
That's why he's on the big bucks, see? Mm. We could get that Dr. Carl in here to sort this out.
Well, no, you don't need to.
Dr. Carl or Dr. Phil?
I think he's Dr. Carl. Look, boys, this is riveting. It really is. But we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about the Broncos. Anthony Seibold, we're going to talk about all
that. Up on the hoist again.
Poor eye. Up they go on the hoist.
Oh, boys, leave my Broncos alone.
Luke Thompson signing with the Doggies and some other little bits and pieces that are going on in the great big world of rugby league as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Super.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. Right across Australia, this is Triple M NRL, the Sinbin, the Sunday Sinbin. It's all thanks to our mates at Mitsubishi, because you can't frighten a Triton. Over 40 years, the Triton has helped Australians get the job done, engineered to deliver power. Just before we go on, a quick birthday. Ella Harrison is having her 18th birthday today. So happy birthday, Ella. And that's from your lovely family. Of course, your dad, a local alderman in the Coogee-Randwick area, the famous Hector Harrison. Boys, let's talk about the Broncos now. So it's been an awful, since we've got back after COVID, it's been an awful start to the season. We spoke about those games where they were flogged. Then last week, Gordy, they were just beaten by Manly, but they're up 18-0. So my question to you is, do they take something out of the fact that they were up 18-0, or are they more devastated that they were up 18-0 and they got beaten 20-18?
Oh, no. I thought it was a better effort from the Broncos. I thought, you know, to be up against Manly, who is one of those sides that, you know, some of the great judges have them in the top eight, and to go there and play the way they did after having a couple of performances, I thought it was a good performance from Brisbane. But I suppose, if anything, they're probably not as confident, but their attitude was fantastic. As I spoke about before, Matt from Collaroy, that, you know, the closing down of a game, that's something that Milford and Brodie Croft have to get better at. Mm. It's as simple as that. But if I was coaching the Broncos, I'd be super happy with their effort. But you'd be disappointed with, you know, being up by 18. So, but that's just rugby league. But from where they were a couple of weeks ago to where they are now, they certainly took some steps forward, Maroon.
Do you think, though, like, to be up, how would they be feeling? So they'd take something out of that psychologically. You're up 18-0, but you lose 20 points to 18.
I think they'll take more positives out of it than negatives, Anthony. I think the fact that they were so poor in the two games after the season resumed, the first two games, that this result, that you can take something out of it. Mm. They started well. They started with enthusiasm. They put themselves in the contest, and they did lose. They led Manly 18-0. Mm. Let's remember that. I think, yeah, of course, they did lose at the end, but I just, for where they're at and their state of mind, I think there's a lot of positives for the Broncos out of that.
Now, this was an interesting one, Paul. We hear on the Saturday scrum yesterday here at Triple M, we hear that, this is where we first heard Ben Dobbin told everybody that Isaac Luke is on his way to the Broncos. This is interesting for a couple of reasons. He's only been at the Dragons for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But the Broncos let Andrew McCulloch go and then bring in Isaac Luke.
Well, they let him go because they didn't anticipate Jake Turpin going down. And so when Jake Turpin went down, they didn't have a dummy half. So they're stuck without one, so they had to go back in the market, and Isaac Luke was available. So I'm not too critical. Well, I'm not critical at all of the Broncos for doing that, because at the time they anticipated that Turpin would play the rest of the season out of dummy half, but they clearly need someone there regularly now with Turpin injured. But I think there has been a few questionable recruiting decisions around the club. I think they're so top-heavy in all these young forwards. that, you know, to Gordon's point, neither of their halves, Brodie Croft was brought to the club as a game-managing halfback and didn't do a good job of managing an 18-0 lead.
Mm.
The Broncos got away, but he wasn't able to steer the ship home. So that's an issue for the club. And I'm over Anthony. People trying to say Anthony Milford, talking about him like he's still a young kid. He's in his mid-20s. And if you think of all the great halfbacks, which were 5'8", whatever you want to list it, by the time they were his age, they were doing the great things.
Yeah.
So Milford is so far, he's still an unrealised talent. And I think it's now at the stage where you actually wonder whether he's ever going to fulfil what we thought we would see at 2021. Because he's not developing his game any. He makes the odd good run. He has some really nice touches in a game.
There's flashes of brilliance, consistency.
But there's not consistency from week to week. There's not consistency from minute to minute in a game. And I would defy anybody to say, pull out a game and where he just owns the result.
We've probably got to go all the way back to when he was at the Canberra Raiders.
100%.
Yeah. Mm. And they were talking about him being a million-dollar player and he was only 21 years of age at the time. Then he was doing special things where he was winning games on his own. I don't know if it was through game management or more just immense talent that he could.
Well, back then it was his talent, and we all saw that. But that was 7-8 years ago?
A long time ago.
Yeah. It was before Ricky Stewart was there.
Yep.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
So that's a long time we've been waiting for him to deliver it. And now I think that's – see, for me, the trick to the Broncos where Seibold really needs to improve the team is in the halves. Brodie Croft was brought there for a purpose. Last night we didn't see that. So that's where they've got to start getting better in their execution and start bringing their impact on the game. Brodie Croft should have just, at 18-0, should have just been kicking the corners and just continued to just roll over and play percentage football, but they lost their way.
Yeah, this is his sixth season, by the way, Milford at the Broncos.
The issue that they've got, to Kenty's point about recruitment, retention and in the halves, is they bought Brodie Croft over the top of this young gun, Tom Dearden, who Gordon will know all about because he's only 19 years of age, but this young bloke has been spoken about for many years now as being a long-term Broncos organising number seven, and he's going to get there, right? But because they've gone out and bought Croft over the top of him, and Croft's not that much older than Dearden as it is, there's an argument he's not even a better player than him.
Mm.
But that
means in the paper up here today that Dearden's going to go to the open market because I thought that there was maybe he got promised that he was going to be the number seven. And he did.
I think there were promises made to his family.
Well, Seibold
when he signed.
Right. Seibold said that last year.
Yeah.
Seibold actually said that last year when he released Nikorima. He said, Tom Dearden's our long-term halfback.
Yep. And then he had an injury, in fairness. He had an ankle
just an
injury.
Dearden?
Yeah. Yes.
Of course he did. But what he's done in the meantime is he's gone and signed Brodie Croft.
Yeah.
That's the issue. It's not that, he hasn't got the halfback spot right now because of the injury or any of that. The fact is they went out and actually bought, after getting rid of a halfback to say this is our halfback, they then went and bought another one.
Which is a similar situation with the McCulloch.
I don't think McCulloch's too big a problem because I didn't anticipate Turpin going down.
Mm.
But you scratch your head sometimes what they're doing up there.
Well, they got to throw Dearden in at 5'8 and play a Luke Keary type of role. If this kid's good and there's Brodie Croft, they're not going to lose anything, right? And we keep on talking about, and Darren Lockyer writes in a column, don't bag the halves, like that they're still learning. Well, they're not learning, because we can talk about the same mistakes that they make. So they've got to make some changes, and I really like the way Dearden played last year. And talking to some of the great judges that are at the club, they thought that he was going to be a long-term and he's a superstar, and then they bought another halfback. So what do? One of them has to play reserve grade, or they put them in there together.
Or whether you put them, Dearden and Croft at 6 and 7 and move Milford to fullback, that's a possibility. But Broncos are just spoiled for talent. They've got so much talent at the club. And part of that, I think the problem is they're trying to keep all that talent without prioritising what they need to do. So they want Dearden. They had Sam Walker in the system. He got out of there because he clearly saw a bit of a logjam there of halfbacks. There you've got all these forwards, young, good forwards, but they can't all play, but they take up so much of the salary cap that then doesn't leave money for other places in the salary cap that need to be fixed. That's where I struggle understand what they're trying to do, Broncos, other than say we want them all and we're just going to put them all in there as best we can. But there's no plan. You look at what Parramatta have done, how they've built their roster and how Brad Arthur has been so selective in the players that he's got in. So he's got the right – Roosters are the same, right mix of age – yep. Experience
shapes
players,
and sizes.
Shape size. You got your little nuggety forwards. You got your tall, lanky forward. You got all these different shapes and sizes. You got different assets in your back line. You've got and they're all blokes who are coming in on different, obviously different pay grades, but they're getting their money's worth out of them. The Broncos have just got a lot of firepower.
Yep.
But to Gordon's point, there's no one steering it.
Mm. Yeah, and mate, it's a Ferrari with no steering wheel. Yeah. But they, you know, like, but like, even with their winger, like that Xavier Coates, how brilliant was he in the air?
Mm. Yeah.
But they still keep Corey Oates. You know what I mean? And they got Farmworth and they got Stags. So they got all this unbelievable young talent. Well, you're either going to hold them and they're going to sit underneath Corey Oates, or you let Corey Oates go and it frees up money to a point they've moved him to a back row. They played him back row. And I don't know whether he's got the engine for it. You know what I mean? He would have done a full preseason in there, especially the way the game's going now, the way your halves are going to get at you, the fullback. Like Tedesco and Keary, they'll have a field day with Corey Oates defending there because, mate, they have a field day with someone that's played 200 games there, you know, and had seen the shapes before. So, but that's all the technical side, but Brisbane, they should be happy. Their defence was poor last week. This week, I don't know, they might only miss 15 tackles or something. So their attitude was a lot better, so you can't bag them.
Boys, the only thing we didn't touch on with the Broncos was the fact that they've signed Bentio. And Bentio, who we know what a champion he is, Gordy, but he hasn't played in the NRL since, I think, the 2014 grand final.
But that's because they left Josh Maguire go. And if you listen to what Seabolt said last week, he said, when the blowtorch got put on our kids, you know, we folded. So Tio has been in that situation, Anthony, where like he's gone to the deep end and he just knows to keep it back on track. And he will lead these guys. How many minutes he can play out there with them is the big challenge for Ben Tio, being out of our game for 6 years and coming back into the NRL where it's changed. It's fast. It looks like it's a young man's game, but I would never back against Tio because of the experience and how good he is as a player. But I think that's what he's there for. He's there to be a father figure because they made a mistake letting someone like Josh Maguire go.
Yeah, and that's the Broncos have done a little bit of that, made mistakes, let someone go and then realise what they've lost afterwards. But they let Maguire left when Bennett was there, but it was with Seabold's approval.
Mm.
So they've let him go.
Wayne, if he never wanted to let Maguire go.
Well, Wayne didn't get a say in it.
No, but if he had Seabold, had a say, he wouldn't have let him go.
Yeah, because he understood what he was bringing to the team beyond just what the stats said.
Mm.
That he brought that edge, he brought that commitment and that accountability to their performance. He made his teammates accountable. When you've got all these young kids, they sometimes lack the confidence to say to a bloke next to him who's only played 25 games himself as well, so, mate, you need to pick up here or you need to smarten your game up because you're not going that well. Like the old bulls will do that. They'll say to the young guys, mate, come on, get your head in the game, and they get them refocused. That's where the Broncos, they've just, that's been their cost to recruit all these young kids and keep them all, is that they've got no one there who's the old head who can just corral them.
All right, well, we hope they can get it back on track there at the Brisbane Broncos. But it's Hoops, it's Kenny, it's Gordy Tallis and Maroon. We're going to take a break and come back and say goodbye to Paul as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sydney.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. And, of course, this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we've got the game for you. So far, the scores for this round of footy. Manly beat the Broncos 20-18. Warriors 37. Cowboys 26. Para 16. Panthers 10. Rabbitohs 32. Titans 12. Storm 26. Knights 12. Raiders 14. Tigers 6. Those are all thanks to our mates at Tyre Power. where right now you'd buy three and you get one free on selected Falcon tyres. Now, if you haven't heard the news yet, the game that was set down for 4 o'clock this afternoon, Roosters Doggies, has been postponed. COVID-19 precautions has meant that game will go ahead tomorrow night at 7. So that game's been postponed, Roosters Doggies, but the Sharks Dragons game has been brought forward to 4 o'clock. Paul, before you go, who do you like in that one?
Which game are you talking about?
Sharks. Yeah.
No, I don't. I think the Sharks should get home, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I'm looking for something out of the Dragons today, Anthony. And at some point, I think they're going to bounce back. I think today's the sort of environment. If there was a crowd there, you'd almost guarantee the Dragons will come out in the local derby and really give it to their opponents, the Sharkies. But I don't know where their heads are at the moment. I'm concerned about the Dragons. If they don't come out today, though, it's lights out already.
Mm, yeah. Okay, what about you, Gordy?
Oh, I have no idea. Toss a coin.
Yeah, hang on. How can you say a toss a coin with due respect? The Dragons have been awful.
Yeah, but it's the local. Do you know what? Look at the way the Tigers played last night. I played in these games, and when the Sharks were down, it was always be a really tough game. And when the, you know, yeah, Dragons were on top of the table, the Sharks would come up with a miracle win. I actually think that there's a massive chance if the Dragons are ever going to get themselves up for a game, it's against the Sharks.
That's what I was trying to say, Anthony.
Okay, Kenny, we'll see you, Gordon. We'll see you on NRL 360 tomorrow.
Yes, you will. Yeah, it's a funny one tomorrow because we've got to change it now. We're still on at 6:30.
Oh, yes.
But because the game has now been, basically, we're going to host, lead at 360 into the game. And then after the halftime, we'll still be straight back to 360.
Right.
And then after the game, we'll be back to 360. So, been an interesting night tomorrow night.
All right. Well, we'll catch it all on Fox League. We'll catch it there with you and Benny Eichen. We're going to take a break and come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.